In many pieces of literature, there is an introduction to the book, to the writing. And it's in this introduction that the author, in a sense, summarizes what the author intends to elaborate on in the pages and in the chapters that follow. That is also true of the four Gospels. During the Christmas season, we reflected on the introduction to the Gospel according to Luke and the Gospel according to Matthew. Those introductions were the first two chapters, and they described the birth and the infancy of Jesus, but more than that, they lifted up the themes and the message that Matthew and Luke would elaborate on as they continued the story, chapter after chapter after chapter. And in the Gospel according to John, there is a very large poem that opens that Gospel in the first chapter. And it's in that poem that John lifts up the images and the direction that he uses to describe who this Jesus of Nazareth is and the mystery of God that is revealed in Jesus. Well, Mark does a similar thing, and what Mark does is he uses his first chapter as his introduction. And the Gospel reading of last Sunday and the Gospel reading of this Sunday are that introduction. Mark begins by laying out a day in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. Remember, it was last Sunday that Jesus comes into the city of Capernaum, and he goes to the place where people are gathered to study and to pray. And there he teaches. And there is a man in that group who is possessed by a demon, and Jesus casts out that demon. And all the people in that community, in that worshiping community, are amazed and astounded at this. They say it is a new teaching, one with authority. For even the unclean spirits obey him. That was early in the morning on Saturday. We're told in the opening words of the Gospel today that immediately after that, Jesus went to the house of Simon and Andrew. And he took with them James and John. He went into the house, and they told him about Simon's mother-in-law. She was sick. She had a fever. Jesus immediately went, and he lifted her up. He took her by the hand, and the fever left her. And she began then to do the work of hospitality in welcoming these guests. We're not told about what happened the rest of that Sabbath day. Jesus remained in the house. He remained with Simon and Andrew and James and John and Simon's mother-in-law. But we are told that when the Sabbath was over that night, Saturday night, when the sun went down, when people returned to their ordinary daily activity, people gathered outside that house. And they brought with them family and friends who were either sick or who were controlled by a demon. We're told Jesus left the house and he went out into the street, and in that night he cured many of the sick people, and he cast out many of those demons. It was late at night, and Jesus went to bed. And presumably, those people went home. Then we're told that very early on Sunday morning, before the sun rose, Jesus got up. He left the house and he went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. As the sun came up, people started gathering again, looking for him. And when his disciples and those townspeople realized that he had slipped out of the house, they went searching. And Simon finds him in that deserted place. And he says to him, "Everybody's looking for you." And Jesus says, "Now let's go to the other villages, to the other towns, to the other cities, so that I can announce the message there. Because that's what I've come to do." And so with that, they left Capernaum. And they went throughout the region of Galilee. And Jesus taught, and he cast out demons. That's the day that Mark describes for us. And what happens after that first chapter, for the next 15 chapters, is what Mark has described in that day in the life of Jesus gets fleshed out. Jesus continues but expands on what occurred during that day. Jesus had a mission to announce the kingdom of God. And in Mark's gospel, that announcement is very often coupled with the expulsion of demons. For Mark, the image of the demon was the image of the broken relationship between God and creation. And Jesus expelling that demon is the image of Jesus restoring a right relationship between God and the created world. Jesus healing the breach that by the presence of the kingdom of God, what is alien to God is cast out. And the healing happens. Now, this is not just, the gospel is not just a story about the life of Jesus. The gospel is also a manual for the church, a how-to-do-it book for the church, how to be a disciple. And that's what Mark wanted to lead that early community into understanding. And that's what that text does for us. So let's go back and look at that day. It starts in worship. The first place Jesus is in that community of worshipers and students and learners. The day starts with his listening to the Word of God, reflecting on that Word, speaking about that Word, and entering into the prayer of that community of believers. That's where it starts. That's the foundation. That's the beginning. Jesus moves beyond that into the intimacy of the close relationship with his family, with his disciples. He leaves that worship and he goes into Simon's house. And there he shares life and he shares the word with those who he is intimate with those who are his family. But it doesn't stop there. Later on in the day, Jesus leaves that house. He goes out into the street. He goes out into the city. He leaves that house and he embraces that community. And he announces God's saving presence in the lives of all those people who gather around him. But he doesn't stop there. The next morning, when Simon tracks him down, he says, "We can't stay here. We've got to go elsewhere. We've got to go beyond here. That's what I came for, that the message might be announced." And we're told that he goes throughout Galilee preaching the good news, the coming of God's kingdom. And wherever he goes, he casts out demons. He restores the relationship between God and creation. Well, that's what that early church is to do. That's what we're to do. That's what it is to be a disciple. It all begins here. It begins at the table. It begins with the word. It begins in a community of worship and prayer and study. It begins here. But it doesn't stay here. Because every single one of us will walk through one of those doors as we leave today, and we'll go home. We will be with our family. We will be with those with whom we share life. And the proclaiming by word and deed of the goodness of God moves beyond this gathering into the family, into the household. But it doesn't stop there, because tomorrow morning, many of us will leave that household and we'll go to work. We'll go out into the street. We'll go into the classrooms and the offices and the businesses and the factories. We will go beyond our household into the lives of our neighbors. And the word must be proclaimed there as well, by word and by deed. And it can't stop there either, because that word is not just for us. That word is for all. And so that word must go beyond the neighborhood. That word must go to the larger community. That word must go to the world. And that's the role of the church. That's the role of men and women of the church. That's the role of Christian communities. And where that presence is found and is effective, demons are cast out. The demons of pride and arrogance, the demons of fear and anxiety, the demons of selfishness and self-destructiveness, the demons that are present within one's own life, but the demons that are present and systemic within society. The demons that keep human life, human beings, all of creation, from a right relationship with God. That's the work of the disciple. The work is to cast out the demons. And where the good news is preached and where Jesus is accepted, there is the power to cast out those demons. Later on in Mark's gospel, as Jesus is about to take leave of his disciples, he will say to them, "You will do greater things than I have ever done, for I will send the Spirit upon you." That's our job. That's our work. And that's what the introduction to Mark's gospel lays out. Mark says, in effect, during the next 15 chapters, for us, during the coming months, as we read week after week from that text of Mark, what will unfold is a much fuller, deeper, broader understanding of that initial message. But the message is this: the proclamation of the good news and the casting out of all that alienates human beings from God. But remember, it starts here. It doesn't start at home. It doesn't start at the office. It doesn't start in the neighborhood. It doesn't start out there. It begins here. It begins when we listen to the word as Jesus did, when we reflect upon that word, and when we join in the worship and the prayer that gives glory to God.